The Mundus Imaginalis, Module 8, Actualization. Incarnation. Following in the footsteps of Jung, a number of Jungian authors have proposed an outline of the stages of active imagination. The first to do so was Marie-Louise von Franz, a close colleague of Jung. She proposed, empty the mind of the ego. Let the unconscious fantasy image arise. Give it some form of expression. Conduct an ethical confrontation. And apply it to ordinary life. Janet Dalley and Robert Johnson built on von Franz's work, and both authors give equal importance to this last stage of active imagination as being living it. Robert Johnson speaks of incarnating active imagination, giving it a physical quality, to bring it off the abstract, rarefied level and connect it to your physical, earthbound life. This requires a physical act, a ritual, that will affirm the message received in the act of imagination. At its best, Johnson says, ritual is a series of physical acts that expresses in condensed form one's relationship to the inner world of the unconscious. But anything that keeps and honors the process, making an apology, putting flowers on a grave, may be enough. From these authors, we learn that the specific images and message received from the act of imagination bring with them an energy that contains transformative potential. But understanding the images, understanding the message of the act of imagination, while bringing insight, will not necessarily bring about transformation. To transform, we need to turn our insights into action, bringing the messages out of the realm of the imagination into the world. We need to live them. A word of warning at this point. The images, symbols, and meaning that have come up from the unconscious are an expression, an appearance standing for something unknown, but real, and so should not be taken literally. Don't use the act of imagination as a license to act out the fantasies in a literal way, or to destructively confront other people, or take inappropriate actions such as breaking up relationships or performing destructive acts like getting drunk or taking drugs. Remember, the conscious self, the ego, still needs to be in control, to be in charge. What we are seeking to do is to take the essence of what has been distilled, the meaning, the insights, and turn this potential into transformation, to integrate them into our lives. Doing a physical act takes our understanding of the act of imagination off the purely abstract level and gives it an immediate, concrete reality. To do this, we turn to the meaning and insights we have gleaned from the act of imagination and look towards performing either a practical act or through the use of symbols and rituals. Performing a practical act. Often the act of imagination will show us where, how, and what corrective action we need to take, demonstrating the need for practical action. This could include taking control of our finances, becoming more security conscious, the need for a more balanced lifestyle, such as eating less junk food, or the need to exercise more, or to make amends, or the need to grieve over a loss. Looking to the meaning and messages from the act of imagination, for example, perhaps we discovered that we are being ruled by work and need to balance our lives, relaxation, fun, exercise, etc. Then the action would be to choose one of these activities, decide how much time we wish to spend on this activity, and schedule time in the day or week for this activity. In one act of imagination, I was urged to tend to my own fire and stop tending to other people's fires. Looking for a practical act that represents tending to my own fire, I decided to make a list of actions I wanted to focus on in my own life. For example, learning to play the piano, following a diverse eating plan, and engaging in playdates with my partner. Sometimes there may be no practical act that you can do following your active imagination. In these cases, you can bring your active imagination into the real world, painting the symbols from your active imagination, making a pottery piece that represents the active imagination, finding a symbol from the active imagination and keeping it in an appropriate place, or by writing a letter to someone who you are angry with and burning it afterwards. Creating ritual acts and ceremonies. Studies show the need for ritual is a basic human instinct, and even the smallest rituals can be extremely effective in changing thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Ritual as an act or series of acts are carriers of meaning. They serve as a bridge between our outer and inner worlds, between the profane and the sacred, and between the ordinary and the extraordinary. Ceremonies are simply rituals to which, through our culture or religion, we've attached a certain feeling of significance. We ritualize the things we value, our beliefs, priorities, and the aspects of life or work that we feel are most important. Births, baptisms, rites of passage, marriages, deaths, mourning, all contain rituals, but creating a personal ritual not only reinforces the significance of our values, but also helps to strengthen our convictions and commitment to change. Creating personal rituals invites a deeper sense of connection, intentionality, and purpose into our lives. In an often overwhelming and confusing world, creating your own rituals and ceremonies can help elevate daily routines into something comforting and sacred. The power of ritual lies in the ability to tap into your subconscious. By bringing awareness to your senses as you perform a sequence of activities, you create a connection between body and mind that builds over time. In performing the ritual or ceremonial act, the individual is able to enter into or move into another field of existence. Let's take a look at some examples of rituals. Marie Kondo's morning ritual. I wake up naturally around 6 or 6:30 a.m. I rarely use an alarm clock. After waking up, I open all the windows, let the breeze in and burn incense. At home, we have a Japanese-style kamidana, or Shinto household altar. On the shelf, there is some salt, rice, and some evergreen fronds. And I'll give this a once-over, freshening things up. Then I'll pray for the health of my family and friends, and also for myself to get done as much as possible what needs to be done. Gratitude rituals. There are an array of gratitude rituals. The one I particularly like is choosing a beautiful rock and placing it in a visible spot within your home or office. Whenever you see the rock, touch it. Pause to think about at least one thing you are grateful for, whether it is something as small as the sun shining down on you in this moment, or as large as the job that allows you to feed yourself and your family. Just think of one thing that brings you joy or fulfillment. Japan's ceremonial tea drinking, known as chado, is a beautiful practice rooted in Zen Buddhism. Tea ceremonies are still an important part of Japanese culture today, and the ceremony still involves a lot more than putting on a pot of water to boil. It is a carefully choreographed ceremony of preparing and sharing a bowl of finely powdered green tea called matcha, served with traditional Japanese sweets to harmonize the tea's bitter taste. Fully engaged in the ceremony, the tea master and his or her guests temporarily withdraw from the mundane world to share a moment of beauty and serenity. In Japan, perhaps no daily habit is as sacred as soaking in a steaming bath at the end of a long day. The Japanese bath daily, whether in their own private bathroom, a public bathhouse, or a communal hot spring, they don't just plunge in. The tradition of Japanese ofuro is carefully crafted to cleanse, heal, and relax, settling into a cradle of soothing warm water and simply experiencing the sensations of the bath, the water, steam, heat, and fragrances bring both the body and mind into a profound state of well-being. At this stage of the active imagination process, look to the messages received and put in place a ritual that helps you to honor the message. For example, perhaps the act of imagination indicated that you are a workaholic and that you need to bring about balance between work and life. You could then honor this message by looking to the end of your workday with a ritual that helps you transition between work and leisure. Here you look for inspiration in the world of rituals and ceremonies to help you with this transition. Perhaps performing the Japanese tea ceremony at the end of your day is a way of marking this transition, helping you to enter into and move into another field of existence. Or you might want to end your day with a walking meditation, providing you with the space to clear the mind and reflect, or an opportunity to take a break from the hustle and bustle and reconnect with yourself. Applications. Choose an appropriate practical or ritual act to incarnate and honor the message from your active imagination. We have come to the end of our Mundus Imaginalis course. We look forward to seeing your applications for this final stage of interpretation of the active imagination, and we feel honored to have joined you on this journey on how to work and interpret your active imagination.